Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, August the 7th, 2026, 8/7/26. 16 and a half minutes past the hour. Do want to remind everybody, today is the last day for our Ohio State Fair ticket giveaway. And we'll be giving away tickets at some point today to Blues Traveler and Gin Blossoms with special guest Spin on August the 8th, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And I still am shocked at how popular this Bailey Zimmerman was yesterday. I had never heard of him, but a lot of people certainly had, so we were glad to give away tickets to that concert, which is tonight, 7:30 at the Ohio State Fair. Hopefully people will report back on how this concert goes. And we never did hear back from our ticket winner, who went to Nelly on August the 4th. Was that Tuesday night? So if you're out there, let us know, 740-383-9944. But it's been a good Ohio State Fair, to say the least. Well, phone lines are open here. We had a pretty robust conversation in the last hour, and I think it's conversations that should be held. They are conversations that should be held as we go into Monday night's city council meeting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say in regard to anything that we talked about in hour number one. You know, I think a lot of this is pretty much all more or less opinion at this point. And it'll be left up to council. Now, as I have said before, I'm not sure that there are enough votes on council to get rid of the flock cameras. And the other point I was making in hour number one was, what about the sheriff saying that this would likely be the last year for flock cameras in general because of funding issues? And also, the sheriff did say on Wednesday, when he was on this show, that he would not be against an oversight committee, possibly containing a city council member and a county commissioner who would like to watch them do their audits. So, you know, there are some concessions being given here. The only thing I have said in regard to any of this is, it's going to come down to a vote on city council, and that's where it's going to be. And then what will happen, and we'll go on from there. I don't think anybody should ever stop speaking out against or for something they believe in. I think that's perfectly fine. I just, I think when people make statements that are currently not accurate, I think that's when the opposite side has a chance to say, this is not accurate. When and if it would become accurate, we can go from there. So that's all I have to say about that. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we also have had an interesting discussion this week on how public officials should behave in public. Now, of course, this was all spurred by Monday's city council meeting, in which there was a bit of an outburst, I guess you would say, from Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. You know what's interesting? And I'm not talking about the calls that we've had on this program, but you know, I have had emails this week, I've had messages, I've had people come up to me who wanted to talk about this incident on Monday, and not one person, well, no, there was one person, but one person tried to defend this the entire week. And as I said yesterday, I do believe that one person has a connection in some way with Mr. Grogan. Everybody else I've talked to had nothing good to say about this outburst. And I'm not sure that they are against Mr. Grogan in general as a prosecutor. I just think they felt that the outburst was not productive, was not a good thing, and should not have happened. So that's fascinating to me in a way that usually when there's an issue like that, you get 50-50 or you get 70-30. There are some people for it, some people against it, some people agree with it, some people don't agree with it. In this particular case, it did not seem like anybody, except one person, was giving it any type of justification. And unfortunately, we never got to hear from Mr. Grogan or got any type of statement, although I did reach out. And I hope, you know, one day he does take me up on that invitation, because I think at this point it could only do him some good to just explain why he feels the way he feels. Same thing I feel about the mayor. I just think when you get to explain why you're doing what you're doing, or explain why you're feeling the way you're feeling, even if people, you're never going to get 100% of the people to agree with you, but at least some people can go, yeah, I understand that, I get that. Because somebody earlier in the week said that I always think people should talk. Now, in most cases, yes, I do believe people should talk. Because if we're talking about talking to the media, you can always not answer a question. You know, if I ask you something and you can't answer it for some reason, you can always say, I can't answer that at this time. So, you know, that's more or less why I always feel people should talk, because it gives people the opportunity to talk about what they want to talk about, and the things that they can't talk about, they can always say, I can't talk about that. You know, that is an answer. You know, I forget who said it years, I think it was Henry Ford. We'll go way back in time here. But I think Henry Ford was being interviewed by somebody, may have been Barbara Walters, somebody well known. And Barbara Walters, let's say, asked Henry Ford a question, and he did not want to answer it, so he said, that's none of your business. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. You know, that could be an answer. I don't know why it's not an answer. It is an answer. So this idea that everybody has to answer everything is not necessarily true. Now, I would think there are some things that people would want to answer for their own good, but I guess that's debatable as well. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'm also a little confused on how some people have become the villains in Marion society. I mean, I get the bigger picture as to why they've become villains. But certain people have certain jobs that just put them in a position to have to do certain things. And, you know, I don't know what more you can say than that. You know, I think it was a lot easier to do these jobs and say the things that were said years ago, before everybody had an outlet, everybody could use social media, everybody could do what they want to do to say what they want to say. I think it was 10 times easier to do a lot of these jobs that people do and get in trouble for doing. You know, I'm still very split on the whole social media thing. I think in a lot of ways it helps people get information, and then I think in a lot of ways it's a big hindrance. Go ahead, caller.
So what I just heard you say, I mean, good morning again, Scott. How are you?
Oh, it's Friday. I'm happy.
It is Friday. What I just heard you say was before social media and the rise of handheld camera devices and such, that it was a lot easier for law enforcement and prosecutors and public officials to get by with shit without the public knowing about it.
No.
Is what my ears picked up on.
No. What I was saying was, in regard to being liked or disliked, that what has happened now, and this is why I'm split on social media and information getting out. Because my philosophy used to be, the more people reporting on things, the better, and somewhere in the middle we'll find the collective truth. Well, the problem is that somebody...
Nobody bothers to find the truth anymore.
No, but they're way off. They're way
mm-hmm.
off. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people put so much opinion, which again is not illegal, they put
right.
so much opinion in what they do that people reading it do not... But this started with cable news, you know.
But they take it as fact.
They take
yes.
it as fact. And
yes.
and I think that makes people, the consumer, very uninformed and not by their own will uninformed.
Well, yes and no, because you and I have this conversation regularly. As consumers of information, we have the obligation to make sure that the information that we're consuming is good. That we need to verify the things that we read. We need to see, are other reputable sources reporting the same thing? Or is this just a local, you know, Facebook page that likes to stir stuff up? Are they the only ones that are coming up with this?
But the problem is, if the story fits your own bias, you're more apt to believe it.
Well, yeah. Some guy on YouTube is far more reliable than Tom Brokaw or whoever.
Right.
Yeah.
And that has become the problem. Now, I'm not saying, and I also think it's made villains out of certain people, far bigger villains than they would have ever been years ago, because a lot of the reporting is opinion-based.
Well, you know, to Ray Grogan's situation, and as we were talking yesterday, his press releases read like they're an interview, because he won't actually do an interview. But he has, his own social media campaign has really bit him in the behind and backfired because, you know, he's doing these releases again of all these things that his office has done. But all we're talking about is how he acted a fool at City Council on Monday night. But he started a lot of this stuff with the Ratliff video. And didn't he do a couple videos on that one?
I remember the one. I
know there was one, for sure, the day that it happened, and I thought there was another one, but maybe it was just a news release. But, you know, when you're up there, this is heinous, and we've got the goods, and soon justice will be served, and then there's 5 not guilty verdicts, well, maybe you shouldn't have taken to Facebook the exact day that this, and the Columbus media, he released the statement, that's where I got the second video from, because he released one, like, on his local Facebook page and then gave a statement to the Columbus media as well, same day.
But you know what's
He's brought social media into his realm. Maybe if the prosecutor stayed off social media, we wouldn't be able to comment what an asshole he is in the comment section.
But you know what's interesting? Because obviously the two people who seem to avoid social media in general, in Marion, more than anybody at this point, are Ray Grogan and Mayor Collins. And I think they would probably both admit that at this particular point. But it's very interesting because they are probably two people who've been labeled most villainous. Now,
have they done anything to help their own image?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because people keep coming up to me and go, well, why do you think everybody should speak? This is why. Because the two people who have done the least speaking over the last couple years are right now probably labeled the two most villainous simply because they don't explain why they do what they do. Had Ray Grogan, there is no reason.
They've not done anything to build their rapport and the goodwill amongst the community either.
Right, but had Ray Grogan.
So nobody can fall back and be like, oh, well, I just had this great experience with Ray, or King Welcome just did this, and he's such a good man. I mean, we're not even getting that.
Yeah, but had Ray Grogan on Tuesday morning, let's say that was spontaneous on Monday, spontaneous outburst, and it happened. If he would have came on Tuesday morning and just explained why that happened.
Or said, you know what, Scott, I shouldn't have done that. That's not how elected officials should act. That's not how anyone should act, especially in a public meeting.
The conversation would have stopped there.
Yes.
And that would have been that.
Instead, his buddy, the sheriff, gets on Scott Spears the next morning and defends him and talks about how his friend was hijacked and how he was just defending himself.
Well, even if he had said that, it would have been him saying it.
Right, instead of his buddy.
Right, well, and this is where...
But then he might have asked him questions about other stuff, Scott, and that's the scary thing about you. You might ask other questions.
Right, but see...
what they want to talk about.
But see, here's the thing. You can always say, I can't talk about that. And that's why I don't understand why these people don't do the media. And that's why I give Sheriff Bales a lot of credit for doing it. Because he is...
Right, yeah, he just doesn't give a shit what any of us think. I mean, he is loud and proud about, I'll get on here and say. Yeah, and to Phil's point, I can see the point, and I love how you always play devil's advocate, and you like to go right down the middle, or you like to make sure both sides of the story are discussed. I see his point, yes, slavery is an extreme point. But when he said this morning, you know, women were told, you'll never be allowed to vote. You know, And this is an already, to some of us, this is an already settled issue. It's our Fourth Amendment rights. So we are talking about a constitutional violation to some of us. And the courts are starting to come around on this. There was a ruling that just came, or I'm sorry, a law that just was passed. Governor DeWine just signed it a couple weeks ago, that the police can no longer use drones without warrants, unless it's like a car crash, active like murder, crime scene type thing. But even if... hostage situations, but they can't drone us from the air anymore. So the laws are starting to catch up with this technology, and for him to just sit up there and say, well, it's legal, so I'm going to keep doing it. He could say, I understand, I acknowledge that people have these fears of Fourth Amendment, you know, privacy invasion, and as of this time, the courts have still deemed it constitutional. If that something should change, then I'm going to respect what the Supreme Court says. But as of this time, we're operating within the means of the law. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better than court said they're legal?
Well, but I think some people are more diplomatic than others. And
I just came up with a more diplomatic speech. Naomi Craig just came up with something more diplomatic than what the sheriff, the elected sheriff of our county, could come up with.
Right, but I think...
He does not care what we think. He does not respect us at all.
Well, see, I don't know, but I will say this. I will say that on Monday, when that conversation was being held, I don't think the sheriff would have ever invoked that had it not been thrown in his face. Because all I'm saying is, fact is fact right now, and they have not been ruled unconstitutional. So when somebody says, you are violating our constitutional rights by the laws of this country on Monday night.
Right, of this point right now, and that's to Phil's point. At one point in time, it was a law that women could not vote. At one point in time, it was completely legal that humans held other humans as property.
That's right.
At one point in time, all of these things were legal.
Right.
And as of right now, yes, they are legal. However, for all of those things to become illegal and have constitutional amendments written about them, was because people fought.
Right, and nobody
said... People were told, it's completely legal, this is fine.
Right, but nobody's...
People said, no, this is not right. We're not going to allow it. We don't want to live in a country that's like this. And
right.
People fought.
But
and
nobody's,
that's what's going on with Flock right now.
But nobody's saying, don't have the fight. Nobody's saying, don't speak out. But if your main argument is that they are unconstitutional, that is inaccurate.
Okay, the court can be wrong. The court changes. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. Clearly it changes its stance. Look at Roe versus Wade.
Right.
That was settled law for years, and that got turned on its head.
But that's right. But see, when people use that argument that the courts could be wrong, it can be used by the other side. If a court ruled tomorrow that Flock cameras are illegal, they could say, well, gee whiz, that's
right.
A wrong ruling.
And I agree. I agree.
So that cannot be your main argument.
But no, this goes to what is illegal today may not be legal tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you.
That's the big argument right there for me on that one, is that the court can be wrong in that it can change its mind. How's that? Not that the court is wrong. In that a new court gets seated or a case gets presented. This is what's going to happen with Flock. A case is going to get presented in a different way now that the Thatchery thing has came down. A Flock case is going to get presented in a different way, I've been reading. Underneath that, under the new precedent, and that's when it's going to trigger a Supreme Court hearing eventually.
You think the Supreme Court's going to declare it unconstitutional?
I think it's going to take time. It's going to work its way up to the Supreme Court eventually, yes.
Well, there you go.
No, I don't think the current Supreme Court would do anything, but I don't think it would make it in front of them before some of them bite it. So there's that. But I think the way it's going, Block may not have a chance to see its constitutional day because people are cutting these things down right and left. And I am not advocating for destroying public property. You should not destroy things that don't belong to you.
But I guess the point I was making earlier, and maybe I did not articulate this well enough.
Probably not. You're not good at articulating points.
God knows. It's a lot of hours here a week.
But the point is that
you know, like with other issues, let's say women having the right to vote, I don't think their main argument was you're violating the Constitution.
No, because it didn't exist. The main argument was that you're violating our rights as human beings. Now, we already have a right to privacy. That's the Fourth Amendment, so that's already one of our God-given rights. So what about some of those maniacs are saying is the government being able to see where we go for 30 days at a time violates our privacy.
But I think they said we are human beings, we are the same as men, we should have the right to vote, why are we not voting? You know, that was the women's suffrage movement.
We are human beings, we have the right to privacy,
right.
Why is Block taking that from us?
That's fine. Now, that's a fine argument to make. But to make the argument that you're violating the Constitution,
we have a constitutional right to privacy, Scott.
And what have the courts said in 2026 in regard to that?
At this point, Block cameras, the way they have been presented to the court, are legal.
And by the way,
there are people all over that believe abortion is legal, and then there are plenty of people that believe that it shouldn't be legal.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, Flock, there are people that wholeheartedly believe it infringes on our right to privacy, and there are people that really just don't care. I don't think there's a real big pro-Flock camp.
Right.
I think that might be like 20%. About 60%, maybe 50% doesn't care, and like 30% of us do. But I think that's getting more towards about 40%. Right.
But on Friday, August 7th, 2026, are
Block cameras illegal?
Are they constitutional?
Based on current law, yes, they are.
It's
illegal to cut them down.
That's it. So to come up there and your main argument is you're violating the Constitution, you're violating our rights, that can be your opinion, but
I got up there and argued that the city of Marion was violating my free speech. Everyone, no, we're not, that's frivolous. Okay, well, they settled.
And
so
what happened?
They settled before a judge ruled.
Right, but they might
not
take fear of that.
But, you know, they disagreed that this was, they weren't doing anything wrong. They didn't violate my rights. They weren't until it came time that they had to pay the tax for violating my rights.
Right.
So, just because the court says, we're allowed to disagree with courts. Checks and balances,
yes.
We're allowed to disagree with courts. And in theory, the legislature could just say, screw the Supreme Court and go ahead and write laws that we don't need. That then the Supreme Court would have to interpret, but it would force it in front of them a lot faster than all these appeals and things like that. And there are actually some federal laws, some bills right now, I should say, that have been introduced to, a Flock guy sat up there Monday night and said they don't have any contracts with the federal government. I think that might have been some fancy wording, because there's a congressman, I can't think of where he's from, but he has introduced a bill to ban the federal government from purchasing anything from Flock or Flock-type companies. So they do business with the federal government.
Well, like I said, we'll see what happens, but I think the significant points that should be made at this particular point are...
is that the prosecutor is an uncontrollable toddler, and the sheriff doesn't care what the citizens say. Flock is constitutional, and his buddy had a right to throw a tantrum like a toddler. and he was hijacked.
Well, my list is different.
No one knew he would be there.
But my list is different. My list would be that legislation is going to go to city council. They're the ones who are going to make this decision. So said the sheriff when he was on this program the other day. So if anybody wants to be angry with them, that's who to be angry with. It's going to go to council. Number two, the sheriff said he was not against an oversight committee. And
didn't he say he wanted the county commissioner and another one of his buddies to be the oversight, though?
I think he said a city council person and a county commissioner.
Yeah, so one of his buddies. Okay.
Well, I don't think he would be picking them, but beyond that...
Which commissioner isn't his buddy?
Well,
he's a retired State Highway Patrol Andy Appelfeller. He's retired law enforcement. You've got Kevin Davidson, who is retired law enforcement from the Sheriff's Department. And then we've got Ken Stiverson, who is the power broker of the local Republican Party. So which commissioner wouldn't be his buddy?
I guess you'd have to take the city council person then. I don't know.
Okay.
But the point,
that's going to likely vote to keep flock cameras, but okay.
Well, and then the other point is, they're likely not going to be around in a year anyway.
Likely.
Okay.
That's the word.
Okay.
Put the legislation, draft the legislation now. Let's just have a straight up and down vote whether to remove flock or not.
I think that will happen, and I think
get everybody on the record, straight up or down. And then if they're really serious and they want to do themselves some favors, go ahead and draft the legislation around it that puts the limitations on it or the oversight or whatever we want to do. So if it doesn't go away in a year, we're not scrambling to create.
I don't think he guaranteed it was going to go in a year. I think he said most.
Exactly, he didn't. So let's be proactive in that. If next August the cameras are still up, at least we have some legislation regulating them.
Well,
I know proactive is a new thing in this town, as opposed to reactive, but we should really try it. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right. Matt Morgan joins us live in the studio. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Is your mic off? There you go.
Doing pretty well.
Okay. So, your thoughts on all this conversation?
Like the flock camera conversation?
Well, it's going on to committee now. We haven't talked to you since Monday. You were at city council.
It's going on to council.
It's going on to council, whatever I said. What I say?
Committee.
Okay. Going on to committee, send it on to council.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I think that as it stands, it's going to get voted down. I don't think it's very likely that it passes in its current state, but I think that... I mean, I've looked into what other towns are doing with their flock cameras, and I think that they've done some pretty, sensible things without getting rid of their flock cameras that I would be okay with.
There you go. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
This is why I'm going to present a perspective to you, why I disagree with you, and why I use the slave issue over the women's voting rights issue. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Okay? They fought, and one of the main arguments of slavery in the men, because back then, women and children didn't have rights. Neither did male black people. But women, white or black, didn't have rights. They were considered property of the male. So it was the main argument that it was a constitutional issue, because our Constitution says all men are created equal, yet we're using black men as chattel, as property. So in my opinion, it was the main argument of that. In that, when they did abolish slavery, the women got their freedom too. But yet, now they became subjective to their male husbands, just like the white females were subjective to the white male husbands. It wasn't a perfect solution, and it wasn't, and that's why women had to fight longer than black people to get a lot of their rights, because the Constitution specifically singled out gender. So I just want to offer that because, as I said, it's good debate. It's excellent debate. I think as a point of fact, yep, if it's supported by the Constitutional or the Supreme Court at the time, then it's the law, right? It is the law. You got to accept it as that. But in the United States of America, we have the right to our opinions, and we have the right to fight for our opinions. And as the people fought to overturn Roe versus Wade, people have fought for civil rights, this, that, and the other throughout our history. You know, a lot of the times, I guess if you're fighting against something, you're usually fighting against established law, the establishment. So the argument's always going to be, it's the law. You can't, it's technically the law. Shut the hell up. You know? I truly get your point that you keep saying about, well, you know, you can't say that. Yeah, you can. You can say it in America.
Oh, you can say it, but you can be wrong in America, too. That's plain.
It shouldn't be law.
You can say it, but you can be wrong, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Everybody can be wrong. I'm wrong about all kinds of stuff.
Right, but I think we've already agreed.
But you're willing to admit you're wrong.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, again, as I started this hour, I don't think people should stop protesting if they think it's wrong. I don't think people should do away with their opinions. I don't think people should stop coming to council meetings. I wish more people would come. I think more people should talk. But when you make the statement that it is unconstitutional, that is an opinion right now. That is not fact.
So
that's all.
So all you have to do is, as any good journalist knows, is say, well, my opinion.
Right.
And finish your statement.
Right, but I think if that's your main argument, which it is a lot of people's main argument, if you look at what happened on Monday night, that's why the sheriff was able to say, show me one ruling in which flock cameras have been deemed unconstitutional, and I'll take them down tomorrow.
And I'm saying there was a time when slavery was constitutional, and there was a time people fighting for them, would have said...
I'm not
at this time, you can't fight this, and they kept doing it, and then guess what? It became unconstitutional, or it was realized that it was unconstitutional. So that's just, chicken or the egg thing is what it is.
But when that time comes, then I would go to the sheriff and make that argument.
Okay. And, I mean, you know, there's 100 ways to paint a house, 100 ways to build a deck, and, you know, half of them are right, half of them are wrong.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Right, buddy.
Right. Now, Matt, do you understand what I'm saying here?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I don't know, last week, I think, we were talking about it. I don't think that the Fourth Amendment argument is a good argument, because, like, I mean, like you, I mean, the courts have, you know, ruled that the flock cameras are constitutional. As a matter of fact, I even think that this, like, you know, it's something like you have no, I forget how they put it, but basically you have no, there's no reasonable assumption of privacy in public. And cameras are in public. I mean, you know, when the Supreme Court does the whole, overturning of the flock, ruling, then at that point, I guess, you know, you can make that argument, but as of now, you know, the Supreme Court has decided otherwise.
That's all.
So.
And again, you can have your opinion on, do you think they're a good thing, do you think they're a bad thing, but the argument of you're violating, you can't say that. That is not factually accurate right now. You can't accuse the top law enforcement official in the county of violating your constitutional amendments and expect that to be a true statement. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the sheriff pretty good and well had it right. Not a ruling has deemed the flock cameras unconstitutional, and I have no reason to believe that if they did start deeming flock cameras unconstitutional, probably even before the Supreme Court, I have no reason to see why the sheriff would would, you know, I mean, if courts start deeming them unconstitutional, I would imagine the sheriff is going to take down the flock cameras.
And has the sheriff not made some concessions here in saying he would not have problem with an advisory board if that's what council would want to do? I mean, I think he has not said this is definitively the way it's going to be. He even said in the interview I did with him on Wednesday that essentially what Rob Smith said was wrong, that if the city rules to take him down, that's what will happen. So, there it was. Go ahead, caller. Oh, we lost the call. Well, if that's you, call back in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's all. Now, beyond that, I have no idea. But the bottom line is, do you think the votes are there to take them down?
Probably not. I would assume that they got 3 votes. I mean, I don't know. I know that you've said that you think that they're probably down to 2 at this point, but I
don't know. They might still have 3.
But I think they got 3.
They might still have 3. I don't think they have 3 strong. I think they could have 3. But 3 is nowhere near what you need.
Yeah.
So, let's say they get 3. And that's that. Then what?
Look, I think if they want to do something with the flock cameras, getting rid of the flock camera or banning them, I guess, isn't gonna work. I don't think that they'll have the votes. I think that they're better off to put in some kind of legislation that bars what kind of information the flock camera can and can't hold on to. I think that that'd be better.
Well, also on these notes this morning, what about the outburst Monday from Ray Grogan? By the way, we've talked. Let's play the clip here. It's only a minute. That way people can hear what in the world we're talking about. But this is what happened during Monday night city council meeting. Interesting moment for sure. Let's go back to Monday.
I guess where I'm going with that is I'm aware of things in Marion, sometimes things I've been involved with, where a person who is a CFO of a county organization contacted a county prosecutor and asked for confidentiality in that organization, and she was promised anonymity, and the very next day she went to work, and this director came to her with all the information. So can we agree that maybe that prosecutor gave the suspect information?
Are you accusing me of something?
And just to be honest on the record here, decorum was voted down last week. So this is what you get, I guess. So, Matt, your feelings on that. You were there.
I mean, now, I do think it's a bad look on Grogan, but now, I can't say that I don't understand why Grogan did it. I mean, there's not a whole lot that bothers me more than somebody like accusing me of something, especially if I did not do it. I mean, I can understand why he got upset, but I don't think that the outburst made it any better.
No, I can understand why he was upset. I just am surprised sitting in a council meeting as the county prosecutor in the back row that you would have an outburst like that during the meeting.
Yeah.
And then continue it when the meeting is over and then not try to explain why you did that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't think it bodes well. I don't think it looks good, but I don't know. I don't think that...
So you feel, though, he was accused?
I think, well, I don't know. I think that he thinks he was accused.
Well, you heard the whole thing, man.
Yeah,
there it was.
He feels like he was accused.
So you can understand why he was angry.
Yeah, I mean, if I felt like I was accused of something that obviously he feels like he didn't do, then, you know,
But would you take that tact?
No.
Okay. Think that's the difference. I'm sure a lot of people get angry about a lot of things.
I don't think the tact is good. I wouldn't have taken the tact. But you know, I can understand why he was upset.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, he feels like, good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Good morning.
Friday.
Doing well.
Yeah, did you get caught in the rain on your way in?
A little bit. It was sprinkling. Not too much, though.
Yeah, it poured down for a while. So, you said that he was accused of something, but yet his name was never mentioned. So is that if the shoe fits, wear it kind of situation? Like, did he... I mean, because there's been other prosecutors, and there are assistant prosecutors and such, and I've been alive for multiple prosecutors, so it could have been, you know, any prosecutor throughout the years. Greg Rogan's name was not mentioned. So is that, you know, like, if the shoe fit Cinderella, wear that son of a gun? I mean, and then to that effect, I have been called names. I have been accused of crimes. I have had all sorts of things said to me inside that room. And have either of you ever seen me react like that?
Well, no, but I mean, I think that's I think that's good.
But
as a
community troublemaker, wouldn't you expect those actions from me? I'm able to maintain some level of decorum. But yet legislation needed to be passed about me, mostly. And we have the county prosecutor behaving that way. So if I, one of the most hated people by some of those, well, a lot of those people in that room, I'm sure they wish I would stop coming. If I'm able to sit there and maintain and act like an adult and a human being, why in the absolute hell can the county prosecutor not do it?
Well, I said, I agree. I think that's why I said it looks bad.
I've been called a bitch. I've been called a felon. I've been called a troublemaker. I've been shouted at. I've been gaveled when I was speaking fairly. I've been told to sit down and shut up. I've been all of these things, and never once have I reacted like Ray Brogan. And those were flat-out personal attacks that were said to me. There was no ambiguity about who it was about. They were said to me. I've had people in the audience get up and say things about me, call me malicious, call me a liar, call me all sorts of things. And never once did I threaten to try to fight any of them. Never once did I say, you talking to me? So why is it that I am somehow like the picture of how you're supposed to behave in a room full of people that hate you? I mean, how many times does Ray Grogan go into a room where he's trying to send someone to prison for the rest of their life, and I can't imagine the hate vibes that person's sending him. Or, you know, he goes into a room where 18, I don't know if you've ever been to a felony sentence, like 15 people might get sentenced in one day because they're all going to prison for short amount of time, you know, year, 5 years, 3 years, 18 months, that sort of thing. They all get sentenced on the same day. Can you imagine all the hate in that room that's aimed towards Ray Grogan? But somehow he doesn't flip out on those people. So I just don't get how we can excuse and say, oh, I understand why he would feel attacked, and I'm a human and I don't like to be accused of things. Okay, but we're grown, and we're in a public meeting. Would you behave that way at work if someone accused you of something? Would you get fired if you did?
That's why I said I think it was a bad look. I just said I understood why he was upset. Now, I also didn't even say that he was accused. I said, obviously, he feels like he was accused.
And that's why I said, is this a
situation?
I
would also like to say that you rattled off a list there of moments that you obviously remember very well in which you feel you were attacked. So obviously harboring these things, even though you might not speak out in the moment, is something people do. And maybe he harbors as well.
Okay. And maybe he harbors. That's fine. But, like, what interactions have him and Phil had? Have they had that many interactions over the years that when Ray Grogan sees him, he's just incensed and wants to fight him?
As I said Monday, I don't think there was a fight about to happen. I don't think there was
anywhere
near.
I don't know. Well, that's your...
If I was going to pick a fight with somebody, I wouldn't do it with the sheriff sitting 20 feet away.
Well, no. Okay, Ray Grogan
and a former police officer sitting right next to you.
Little Ray Ray would not have gotten to swing in. He would have provoked a fight and had Phil arrested.
I don't know. It is absolutely funny to me that people think that there was a fight about about to break out there Monday.
Apparently, Spirit, I'm telling you again, you have not obviously been in a situation where people were fighting.
Mac, do you think a fight was about to break out there?
No.
I think
not even. You know what? There wasn't a person in that room who even left their chair. I've seen many fights in people jump up immediately because there's a fight happening.
Greg Rogan would have baited Phil into a fight. That would have been his... What do you think Sean Barr was trying to do to me that night when he was screaming in my face?
Wait, we gotta go to break.
We gotta go to break.
We'll come back. We'll answer these questions on the other side of this short but important break.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating or our world would be better?